You know, we started doing communion like this year. We used to fit it into the service. And some of you are newer, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because I feel like it's relevant. Last year, we had communion the first Sunday of every month. And what we were doing is literally I was fitting it into the service. So I'd have one message 30 to 40 minutes long. And then we did communion. I just can't do a shortcut with communion. It's not in me. So then I'd have a second message on those Sundays. It was a minimum of 20 minutes for communion. So I'd have a 40-minute and a 20-minute message. And we had two services too. So I was doing four services each Sunday. And so it just wasn't working well because I felt like I was rushing a little bit with everything. And just didn't agree with me. So Cheryl and I were praying. This was our Christmas day. I mean, I don't know what you guys did, but what we did is we spent the entire day praying and seeking God for vision for the year. I felt like that was very important, and Cheryl did too. So we did that, and God gave us vision for the year, which is the result of all the new changes in the schedule, all the new things that are going on the calendar back there. That was a download we felt like from the Lord on Christmas Day. Just as we felt things come to mind, we'd write them down. We kept writing them down, and then we put together what we felt like was a vision plan for the year of services and special things. But then a week later, I was in prayer, and I was like, God, I just feel like something's missing. You know, I know we've got what we felt like you shared with us, but I felt there's more. And I was just praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my thoughts, and I heard Him say, stop fitting the communion into the service. He said, build the entire service around the communion. I said, man, that's the answer that my soul needed to hear. You know, and so that's what we do. Now we have communion, we have it quarterly. But when we do it, it's not fitting anywhere. The entire service from start to finish is about the Lord. It's about communion. It's about His body and His blood. And I've never done it this way before, but my gosh, do I do it. I like it, and I think that the people that have been part of it, you seem to enjoy it as well. Once again, today's message is communion. Communion. You know, the people in the world, now I'm talking about the non-Christians, okay? And some Christians act like this as well. I've got a little object lesson. See, these are straws, okay? This is very much what people live like in the world. What they do is they get up and they're like, well, what I'm doing is not working that well, so, ooh, self-improvement. I wrote it on the straws. I think, okay, this wouldn't work for me, okay? We'll pretend this is a lady drew this one. Okay. I'm going to get a new hairstyle and some new makeup. That will make me happy. Okay, how about let's draw another one here. Relationship. This could be a guy or a girl. You know, I think I need a new relationship with somebody. That's what's missing in my life. That'll make me happy. Here we go. For the wealthier crowd, I think I'll get a facelift. You know, we're laughing at this. But you know, thank you, Cheryl. This is what many people live by. I'll draw a new straw. Maybe that's the answer. But isn't that the way culture is? I'll buy that new toy. I'll get that new boat. I'll get that new whatever. Or I'll do something to myself. And that'll be the answer I've been waiting on. That'll be what makes me happy. That'll satisfy me. You know, that'll be what's missing in my life. You know how that goes. All of us have tried that. And I said non-Christians, but you know, a lot of Christians live that way too, don't they? You know, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. And there's so many Christians, same thing. They're reaching for something. Say, oh, this will satisfy me. Well, no, spend some more time with Jesus. That's what's going to satisfy you. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, seriously. You know, if somebody has the money or they want to do it or whatever, in itself, there's no sin in any of that in itself. You with me? But looking to something other than Christ to satisfy, that's what's wrong. The problem lies in that. It's going anywhere but Jesus to find your sense of self-worth, to satisfy your soul. To know that things are right in your life. Look anywhere but Jesus makes it wrong. Okay? So, Jesus' body and His blood are the only source of good, significant, quality, lasting life change. That's it. Jesus. Jesus and only Jesus. Yeah, other things are good to have part of our life, but you know, everything, every possession, everything you pursue, all of that is simply a means to have a little better quality of life for yourself and to extend the kingdom. That's why God gives us houses, is to help people. That's why He gives us stuff, is to help people. You with me? It's to help our life be a little bit better, but also it's mainly so the love and the grace of Christ can go through us and through those things to touch people. You know? If your affection is on Jesus, and then you're stirred to do whatever, as long as you keep Jesus first and use whatever you get for Him, it's okay. It's okay. It's a good thing. Talking about communion. You know, I believe that the reason the Lord instituted communion wasn't just to remember something He did. You know, I've shared this a lot. This isn't a memorial service of, oh, He's gone. Well, if only I'd have been there. No, this isn't a mourning, crying. Please, you guys, you know me. Okay, I'm pretty pointed. And when I say that, this isn't a, you know, woe is me if I could only walk with Jesus. Whenever He was here in the flesh, if only I could have did that. Yeah, all of us would have liked to have done that. But the fact is He, and I said this last communion, He isn't the great I was. Yes. No. No. He is the I am. He is a now God.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. And I want you to understand, everything God does in your life is always now future. You understand? When He's working in your life, it's always now, future. He never drags you back into a hole of the past and says, let's go way back there into Egypt and see all that dead stuff again. Have you ever noticed that? God doesn't work like that. He doesn't drag us in the past. He says, here I am for you today, now. I am the great I am. Let's go here now. And also, I want to give you a glimpse of the future. And that's our God. He's a now, future God for us. Praise God. There's always fresh life for Him. That's why His mercies are new every day. His grace is new every day. You know, because He's working with us now. He's a now God. But I also think that, back to communion, I really think that the Lord instituted communion specifically so every believer can have a moment of realignment in their spirit. Because see, communion is that one thing in the Bible that brings everybody face to face with Jesus. I mean, yeah, you can get teachings, you can get all type of, you know, things out of the Word of God, but to really, really have communion, you're going to come face to face with your Lord, aren't you? And there's going to be some alignment in your life. It's going to bring you back to what I call a baseline. In other words, you're going to come back to that concrete rock slab baseline in your life and realign your attitudes, realign your motives. That's just what communion does. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to bring us back to us and Jesus. And then, it's neat because when that happens, our perspective is changed. You just spend a few minutes with Jesus, and guess what? You'll see everything different, won't you? Yeah. I mean, a moment with Jesus will change everything. And so, I think that that communion is valuable because no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in my life, I mean, this world is spiraling out of control. It is. It's crazy out there. And the crazy affects us. We're not exempt Christians. I mean, Jesus didn't save us and somehow or another insulate us from the world. No. No, Jesus saved us and left us here so that we could reach people, so that we can make a difference. He didn't insulate us at all. I mean, Jesus didn't avoid sinners. You know, Jesus didn't avoid the lost, the non-Christian. He didn't avoid the people who were up to no good. No, what He did, He went to them. You know, the sick need a physician. So, He doesn't insulate us. So what we have is really, whenever we connect with God and we come back to that communion place, like in the midst of whatever's going on, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for your body and your blood. Thank you for the fact that there's still power in the blood. There's still power there. Do you know that? There wasn't just enough power to get you into the kingdom. Now, His blood, it doesn't have just a little bit of power, just enough to get you in. You know, barely get you through the door. No. His blood has power to get you into right relationship with Father and right relationship with God. It also has the power to forgive you every single day when you blow it. Because all of us, the Christians, you still sin sometimes. I'm sorry if this is an eye-opener. Okay? If it makes you feel anywhere, any better. Dana?
Yes?
I still sin sometimes. Uh-huh, yeah, I do. But guess what? If we sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all sin. And that's the power of the blood. The blood is still just as powerful in your life today as it was at the cross. It doesn't diminish. His blood will be eternally powerful. Amen. So now we'll get into the message a little bit. Amen. But you know, according to the Bible, it's very important to remember the difference between the body and the blood. There is a difference in the provision that His body makes and the provision that His blood makes. According to the Bible, that's very important. Let's talk about it. This is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 through 30. All right. It says, everyone ought to examine themselves. So there's a process. The Apostle Paul's given us a process that is literally a healthy way to go into communion. So here it is. He says, everyone ought to examine themselves. That's it. That's important. You've got to examine yourself. It says, before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning. I underline that on purpose. Discerning. Discerning means to separate, to bring division. To separate between the body and the blood. It says, without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why, and there's people that were not discerning, that were not bringing separation in the church, says that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, which means have died. Because there was no separation in the communion experience. Okay? So let's talk a little more about this. The first thing, we're going to break this down some. The first thing, it says everyone, in other words, every Christian, every believer, ought to examine themselves. You know, it's a serious thing to go to the Lord's table. It's a serious thing to go before the Lord's table and remember what He did for us. To remember what it cost Him. To remember how He was abused. To remember His blood. To remember the crucifixion. That's a serious thing to remember that. And then to remember means to, it doesn't just mean remember it as in a memorial service sense. It means to remember with a full appreciation of the benefits provided. That's what it means whenever it says remember in the Scripture. To remember these things. That's what Jesus meant. So we remember what He did, but we also remember what it provided. That's our communion experience. Remember what happened, but also remember all the benefits, all the stuff that it made available to us. Because, you know, once again, Jesus is working in your life now, and there's benefits now. Okay, and so he's talking about, once again, see, he even breaks it up. It says, if they don't examine themselves before they eat of the bread and, here's the separation, and drink from the cup, he says, you've got to separate it. If you don't, you're going to eat and drink judgment to yourselves. And it says, that's why many are weak and sick. So I'm going to touch on the weak and sick just a little bit. Well, the Bible talks about weak. Okay. It literally, where this was translated from, it means living in a state of weakness or being depleted. You know, when you don't appropriate all the benefits of the body and the blood separately. Now, there is a synergy between them we're going to talk about. You need both. However, you need to acknowledge the benefits of both, or you're going to be missing out on something Jesus provided. And that's what it means. You're going to miss out on something and you're going to be weak as a result of not having it. Okay, you're going to be depleted. It means literally without adequate strength. There's, you just don't have enough strength to do what you're doing. You don't have enough strength to follow God the way you need to. And then sick, when it talks about sick, that's referring to a persistent illness. Literally one that will not leave. Isn't that something? It's amazing. And then, of course, falling asleep as people have died. Now, I know this sounds very serious and intense, and it is. It is. Communion is a big deal. But that's why, you know, I try to spend time teaching on it, to help us to enjoy it more fully. But see, Paul, really what he's doing, and he's teaching this, saying, look, examine yourself. Make sure that your heart's right. Make sure your attitude's right. Make sure you're going in this the right way. Make sure you're bringing separation to get every benefit the Lord has for you. That's what he's teaching here. You don't want to miss out, church. You know, I don't want to miss out, church. And so, whenever he shares this, and then, let's talk about Lord's body some, okay? Alright, so here we go. This is in John 1:14. And it's talking about Jesus himself. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is the Word of God. This became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you understand Jesus is the living Word? Everything, every promise, every benefit, everything about the Lord, everything about God, everything in this book was who Jesus was in the flesh. The Word became flesh. I like it. And made his, there you go, his, that's the human part. The Lord Jesus himself came into a body born by the Virgin Mary. He became flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. It says, we have seen his glory. I love it. This is John, the Apostle John. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Amen. Jesus was the entire Word of God living among us, living among them. And in John 6:51, it says, for I alone am the living bread that has come to you from heaven. Eat this bread, and you will live forever. The living bread I give you is my body, which I offer as a sacrifice so that all may live. You see the connection of life with the body? Life. And I'm not talking about spiritual life here. The blood is what gives us spiritual life. Okay, the body gives us life. It gives us strength. It gives us health. It gives us whatever we need physically and emotionally. That's what his body provides. But I like it. And there's also kind of a little bit of a hint here. I'm the living bread that has come to you out of heaven. Remember whenever the children of Israel were in the wilderness? The manna came from heaven and fed them through their wilderness journey. What about our wilderness journey? He's the bread from heaven. He's the one who feeds us through our journey, you know, through the wilderness. He's the one who takes care of us. Okay? It says, eat this bread and you'll live forever. And I like it. And it says, the living bread I give you is my body. And what are we doing today with communion? We're taking the bread, which symbolizes his broken body. His body is given for our life, for our strength, for our health, so that we're not weak and sick. You know? And let me just say here, I'm not promising anybody here that you won't get sick. I walk with God long enough to know that's foolishness. If somebody tells you that when you trust Christ, if you just believe and you just have faith, you'll never get sick, that person must not know our God and he must not know this world. He's been living in a daggum, you know, a padded cell or something. I'm not being rude, but the truth is every person gets sick, Christian and non-Christian. Every person will get sick. You know, a lot of people are going to get, you know, a lot of people get diseases. I mean, some people get some nasty stuff, Christian and non-Christian. We're not exempt. No. That's why we need his broken body. You know, that way we can receive the health and we can receive the strength and we can receive the healing to keep right on moving. So, let's go a little bit further, okay? But, you know, according to the Bible, according to your Bible and my Bible, even if we have a different translation, it is God's will to heal. There's nowhere in the Scripture that says it's God's will for you to be sick. You won't find it. I've read it enough to know. There's a lot of Scriptures talk about Him healing us. A whole lot of them. And I want you to think about Jesus' ministry on the earth. Think about when He was here. I mean, what do you see happening as much as Him preaching, pretty much? Healing the sick. Setting people free. Breaking the yokes of bondage. You know, delivering people from demons. You know, I mean, you see that as, you know, yeah, he preached the word, and yes, he taught people. But what was he doing? He would go into towns. He healed all that were sick. He healed this. He set that one free. He rebuked that. What do you see? I mean, you see a large portion of Jesus' ministry was healing. Signs, wonders, and miracles, wasn't it? Yes. And that's why when he left, he said, you go into all the world. You do it now. And I love it. He doesn't just say, go. I love it. He says, greater works than these. He's referring to things he did. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. That sets the bar pretty high, doesn't it? Greater works than Jesus we are supposed to be doing, because he's up there interceding. He's praying for us. The Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit is empowering every single one of us all across the globe to do what Jesus wants us to do. So greater works than those. So anyway, I'm kind of just touching on things to kind of just, I guess, share a little bit of Jesus' body and what it provides, as well as it's continuing right on through us. God wants us to continue to minister healing to people. Help. We've seen people healed in the group here. We've had physical healings in the group. I've been healed more than once, physically. You know, I'm trusting God right now for something. I got something bothering me right now. I'm like, Jesus, me and you. Me and you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And so, but you know, that's what we do, Christians. You know, we don't always know what's best, but I will tell you, before you start doing something or shooting in a direction, talk to God about it. Get His perspective on it. You know? If you got something physically bothering you, pray and ask Him, Lord, what you want me to do? What you want me to do with this, God? Do I need to go here? Do I need to go see somebody? Do I need to go have a doctor's appointment? Do I need to take care of this with me and you? You know, you need to get, you know, you're bought with a price, you know? We don't really have the right to kind of just do whatever we want to with this temple. Amen. But that's what I do, is I pray about everything with God whenever I have something going on. Like, God, you know, this is kind of stinking right now. This isn't cool. What do I do with this, God? But that's what relationship is, you know? We don't just show up like, oh, I'm looking good today, Lord. No, like, Lord, this is not going well. Help! You know? I love Peter's prayer. He gets out on the water, he's doing good, then he starts getting distracted. Like, oh, there's some waves, there's some wind. Well, he took his eyes off Jesus, didn't he? And he starts saying, he's like, help! I love it. And what happened? Is the Lord, who was way over here, is now, come here, Peter, get up. See, that's what happens to us. We take our eyes off Jesus, start looking at what's going on, start looking at that symptom, start looking at that thing, take our eyes off Jesus, we'll start sinking every time. But it's a good time to cry help. If you feel like you sink a little bit, stop trying to figure it out and just cry out help. Get your eyes back on Him quickly. Amen. Like I was saying, there's actually a synergy between Jesus' blood and His body. There's a synergy. You know, you can't enjoy the benefits of the body without the blood. You can't do it. You know? Because the blood is what gets you into right relationship. The blood is what gives you access. The blood is the door. I mean, just make it plain. His blood is the door to all the benefits of the kingdom. Without the blood, you ain't getting nothing. I'm just saying like it is. His blood is what gives us access. Remember when Jesus died, the veil was torn, giving us unrestricted access to the Holy of Holies. And I'm going to tell you what, the blood is what does that. The blood. His body was broken, the blood poured out. And then when He was crucified, every drop ran out. And what that did is that the veil was torn. We go straight in now. We go straight in. Praise God. But see, that's the synergy between the body and the blood. You have to, you know, understand and enjoy the blood and have trusted Christ to be part of the family. You know, to be a son and a daughter, a prince and a princess. That's what you are. Yeah, that's just what you are if you trusted Christ. You're royalty. You know, I shared this a while back. You know, that awesome family vault full of treasures in heaven? That's ours. I want you to know, that's ours. Us and Jesus have the key. All that's ours. But it's a family thing, church. It's a family thing. So don't ever think that no matter, you know, if you're struggling with something or you're in a tough spot, don't think for a second that there's not provision. Don't think that Jesus hadn't made a way. You know, don't think that He's not right there with you. You know, God's Spirit is with you all the time. If you trusted Christ, His Spirit's in you. God's already there. God already knows. He just wants you to partner with Him. He just wants you to partner with Him. And He also wants us to understand the blood and the body to appropriate the right resources at the right time. Amen. So I want to just... I'm not going into a lot of detail because I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share just a little bit. Years ago, the Lord showed me an image. I was in a tough spot, and the Lord showed me an image of... I was in prayer, and I was in a tough spot, and I was dealing with something, a really nasty physical thing. And so I was in prayer, and this was about a year and a half in. I was really sick. I was going to die. And I was praying. And I was like, Lord, my prayer had went from these big elaborate prayers to heal me or kill me. I'm serious. Whenever things can get that mad, it's like I got up like, Lord, heal me or kill me today. Just do one soon, please. And I'm in it. But the Lord spoke to me in one of those prayers. He gave me this little, you know, you've heard me say what a vision, when God gives you a vision, it's a movie trailer. You know, it's a movie trailer. That's what it looks like in your mind. It's just a little clip. And so I saw Jesus, and I could see his back. I saw him strapped around the log, and I could see him whipping him. Just in an instant in time, I saw him whipping him. And I saw the scourge, and every time it hit him, it would open him up. I mean, it just ripped open his back. And while I was seeing that in my prayer time, and I saw him hit him, and it opened up. And what happened is there was a fraction of a second when the wounds, the stripes opened up between the stripes opening and the blood coming out. I mean, it was fast, but there was a fraction of a second. When I watched that, it was I saw the stripes open up, and then I saw the blood come out. And immediately the scripture came to mind in 1 Peter 2:24, which is also in Isaiah 53:5. And I'm going to read it to you. So here we go. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you're healed. By his stripes, we're healed. And that's what he was showing me, because I was in a tough spot. I needed physical healing desperately. And what it is, I saw the stripes, and I saw the blood come out. And whenever the blood came out, the Lord spoke to me and said, by my stripes, you're healed. And, you know, he gave me a revelation. That's, you know, often that's what we are. We're just one revelation away from victory.
Amen.
And you're going to get that in time with God. You'll get that in that prayer time, that devotion time. Sometimes it'll be through somebody else. You got that friend who just shares that hard thing with you, and you're like, yeah. You know, they're like, you know, they'll speak something to your life. It may be a hard thing to hear. It may be an encouragement. But it'll be the word of the Lord in season to you. And that'll be that thing that sparks that revelation that changes everything. You know what I'm talking about. You've had God just drop a thought in your mind or have a person share something, and all of a sudden it's like, whew, wow, everything's different now. What happened? But isn't that God? God can share a piece of a sentence with you, and you can get totally free in a whole area of your life.
Yeah.
Something you've been struggling with a lifetime. Isn't it great? God can smile. I've sensed this joy. I've been in a tough spot and just sensed him just kind of laughing and smiling like, oh, there's freedom. I mean, just, but that's true. He gives us what we need right when we need it. Yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing. But that set me free, and it was shortly after that that God completely healed me physically. And there was nothing nobody could do, but he healed me. But what I needed a revelation to hang on to. And what I did is every day when I got up, instead of saying, heal me or kill me, Lord, what I did, I was still feeling like crap. I mean, that's a bad word. I was feeling terrible. But I'd get up, and I'd be like, by your stripes. I mean, with gritted teeth. By your stripes. I just get every day. And sometimes hundreds of times a day, just by your stripes. I was battling with the Lord. I was fighting with the revelation he gave me. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Fight with the prophecies that were spoken concerning you. Fight with them. Fight with what God's given you. You can't fight what you don't have. Fight what you got. And if you don't feel like you got enough, sit at Jesus' feet until you get something. He'll come through. He's never failed anybody in this room.
Right.
Nobody. I believe that the Lord's body gives us strength. It gives us strength. His broken body gives us strength. I believe his body was broken for our health and healing, according to the scripture. It was broken for our health and healing. All of us are going to need some healing at some point. Everybody in this room is going to need healing from something. You know, I'm not speaking something nasty on anybody. I'm not speaking something bad. I'm just speaking truth. I've needed healing a few times. I'm sure most of you have, if not all of you have too. And if you haven't, at some point you'll need God to step in and help you somehow, physically or emotionally. You know? I mean, it's just part of life. We all need Jesus. You know? We all need Jesus. And I share that often. I don't care if you're a Christian or non-Christian. You need more of Jesus. You do. You need more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. You know, I shared with the prayer, we have a pre-service prayer group, and a question really stirred in my spirit this morning as I said, how bad do you want him? That's a question you need to ask yourself from time to time. How bad do I really want Jesus? How bad do you want him, church? You know, when you're in that tough spot physically, is your first response to, and please hear me the right way, is your first, I'm not talking about a broke arm or a compound fracture or something. I mean, I was in medical stuff for quite a while. I'm not talking about something that's life-threatening. When you're in a tough spot, is your first response, a doctor will help? Or is your first response, Jesus, what do I do? Jesus. I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor, so don't read into this, okay? I know some people can read into things, and I know that over the years I've read into things. But no, if you want to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you don't want to go to the doctor, don't go to the doctor. The thing is, I care about your soul. I care about you.
Yes.
Cheryl does too. But I want you to do what God wants you to do, whatever that looks like. And it might not always look like what everybody thinks is right. Because you and Jesus are working out your salvation. Your friend ain't working out your salvation. It's you and Jesus are working it out. That's that day-to-day separation, the sanctification. That's what's talking about. Every day you're working it out with God. I just want to show you a scripture that talks about a little bit more about this. This is in Exodus 23, 25 through 26. It says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and I will take sickness away from among you. I will fulfill the number of your days." Church, and I know this was Moses in the Old Testament, but I'm telling you, this is just as real to us today. You shall serve the Lord your God. You shall follow Him. You shall be in right relationship with Him. And guess what? He will take sickness away from among you. You know what? That's because you had sickness. You see that? He doesn't say you'll never get sick. He says, I'm going to take it away from you. In other words, you got something wrong. You got a sickness. You got something going on. He said, you follow me. You love me. You enjoy me. You serve me. And guess what? When sickness happens, you stay faithful to me, and I'll take it away from you. And if that isn't enough, I will fulfill the number of your days. You know your days and mine are numbered by the Lord. They are. If your heart's right, you're doing the best you can. I'm not saying perfect. None of us are perfect. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus, we wouldn't need Jesus if we were perfect. And God doesn't want us to just be perfectionists all the time and have no grace. But we need grace for ourselves and grace for others. However, the Lord's saying, look, if you get sick, I'll heal you. I'll take it away. And by the way, you ain't going nowhere, until I'm ready for you to come home. Isn't that nice? And He doesn't just say, I will make sure your life ends a certain way. He says, the number of your days. Isn't it neat? That's that day by day. Day by day. Day by day. I'm going to make sure you don't die 1 second early. You just enjoy me, walk with me, and serve me. You do your best. Yeah, you might deal with some tough spots, but ain't nothing going to take you out, church, until Jesus Himself says, come home. You stay right with God, and He's going to watch out for you. Jesus says, you're in my hand. And if that ain't enough, you're in my Father's hand. Ain't nobody going to snatch you out. And so let's talk a little bit about the blood now. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The law. You know, Jesus was born under the law. Jesus Himself was born under the law so that He could fulfill the requirements of the law. It may sound kind of strange. The new covenant didn't come in until Jesus died. The new agreement, the new testament, that didn't come in until Jesus died. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law. He met Father's requirements. And that's why He fulfilled everything, and that's why we were able to come into a new era, a new agreement. I like it, but the law requires nearly everything to be cleansed with blood. And so, in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you, not the creature. Okay, let's look at it. The life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it, speaking of the blood, I have given the blood to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. We needed that blood, didn't we? We needed the blood. We still need the blood, church. I believe there's less. There's not quite as many churches talking about the blood as there used to be, I think. I know I read a lot and do a lot of studying and all. Jesus, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, and talking about the power of the blood. Those things aren't quite as common as they used to be. But that's the only place of life change. That's the only place of life change. You know, I'm not looking to build a swell group. You know, I'm not looking for us to be a group of people who just have fun together and hang out, you know, and do life. No. No, I could stay home, watch a good show, and get more of that. I'm just telling you. No, I'm here because together, we're moving further and further with Jesus. Together, His blood is cleansing us from more and more of our sin and more of our problems and more of our messes. Together, we're doing that. And together, we're speaking into each other's lives. And together, we're helping each other. And together, we're making a difference. We're changing this area. This region is being changed for Jesus. And we're just getting started. I'm telling you, church, we're just getting started. Praise God. But I definitely like the upgrade we have. Glory Shop was awesome. Thank you, Glory. But, man, I looked at the worship team this morning. The worship team, it looked like you guys were spread out over an acre of land up there. I mean, it's like I had to look from one. I was like, whoa, they're all the way over there. Yeah, those of you who don't remember, we were meeting in a little clothing shop, and it was tight. My gosh, it was tight. But
not at the beginning.
No, that's right. Not at the beginning. That's right. Yeah, we had a very small group at the beginning. Boy, that's what, we didn't know anybody. We didn't know a soul here. We met Glory. I love it. Started with Glory in a place of second chances. Praise God. Only God. Only God. This may sound strange, but I know it to be biblically accurate. Jesus has a really high cool factor. He's the best. I mean, He's just way up there. And that's not irreverent. You know, I don't mean that irreverently, but He is just like so cool. He's wonderful. He's way up there on the cool chain. It's awesome. Yeah. Amen. Okay. So let's keep going. Okay. In Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you are not pleased. I love it. Look at Jesus here at church in 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will. My God. I think Father was just sick of all the animals being murdered. You know, all the animals just being killed for sacrifice. And the animals, you know, that could only provide something, a temporary, that was like a quick fix or a temporary solution, wasn't it? But, you know, the spotless animals, that was just a temporary solution. You know, the priest would come in, they do the sacrifice, and it would somewhat cover people's sins for a little while. And that's why I think the Bible's talking about Jesus. Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. The time came in history when Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, enough of the temporary. Enough. We're going to do a once-for-all sacrifice. One sacrifice for all of humanity, for all time. It'll never diminish its life-changing power. And Jesus said, pick me. I'll go. And do you know He knew exactly what was going to happen before He ever came? He knew every stripe. He knew the thorns. He knew the abuse. He knew that He was going to be so weak and so fatigued that they had to grab Simeon out of the crowd to carry His cross. He knew that. He knew that He wouldn't even be able to finish the work without help. I think that's a good illustration for us. You know, church, you cannot finish what God's got for you alone. I think that's part of what Jesus was communicating there. You know, you need somebody in your life to help you, somebody to speak into your life, somebody really, really loves and cares about you to do it. So He received a body to finish what would be pleasing to God. So, you know, Jesus' once and for all sacrifice justifies every believer. And I like it, justifies. Just if I'd never sinned. Isn't that good? Just as if I never sinned. That's what justification means. In Romans 5:9 it says, and there is still much more to say of His unfailing love for us. For though through the blood of Jesus we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. righteous. Go from sin-filled and separated and under the curse to righteous, above the curse, and accepted in an instant. In the time it takes to say, Lord, save me. Amazing. Amen. I want to show you something. This is the only picture I could find of this. Okay, it's old. They don't do this anymore, but this is a blood transfusion. This is a person-to-person blood transfusion. Do you realize that's exactly what happened to you whenever you trusted Christ? You and me. There was a person-to-person blood transfusion. All of Jesus' precious, spotless, sinless blood came into our body, while at the same time, all of our sin-filled, guilt-ridden, messed-up blood went into His. Like that. There was a complete blood transfusion. Isn't that amazing? You have the blood of the King in you today. Blood of the King, the only King. Amen. And I think that's why you've heard people say, I've had people say when I've led them to, or led them in a prayer to trust Christ, I've had many people over here say, whoa! I've had several things. One which is, I feel like a load of bricks has been taken off of me. I feel like a weight has been lifted. Wow, I just feel like I just was burdened down or something was on me and it's gone. I feel light. Yeah. How many of you have heard something like that? Or said something like that? Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the transfusion. The load went to Him. The freedom came to you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. But you know, I was talking about this a minute ago, and I'm just going to mention this briefly again. It's the blood that gets us into the kingdom. His blood makes us right. But also, His blood is what provides forgiveness every day. And it says in 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. That's speaking of that day-to-day forgiveness of sin. Okay? So we're close to closing. I've got just a little bit more. Okay, we're back. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, this is that day-to-day purification when we blow it, when we mess up, when we commit a sin. He'll forgive us. So there's just as much power then in the blood. You know, all we have to do is go to Him and say, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. It's that simple. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And the power of the blood will connect with you right there and set you free from the responsibilities of that too. Praise God. But you know, whenever God sets us free, keep in mind, don't become religious. Don't think that somehow or another you did or you worked it out. You know, if you struggle with something, you know, and you commit a sin, you ask God to set you free, or God just steps in and sets you free from something, don't in any way take credit for it. I'm just telling you, don't think somehow or another you did it or you figured it out. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, doesn't it? That freedom comes from Him. That victory comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. But you know, religion focuses on works. Religion, and we talked about this in Bible study a lot. We dug into a lot of these concepts. But you know, religion is absolutely opposed to freedom. You with me? And I'm not talking about anything goes. No. But there's a whole lot more freedom in the Word of God than a whole lot of people want anybody to have. You with me? And religion will try to keep somebody in bondage because they don't want anybody free. So if you struggle with religion and God gives you a victory, you'll be like, hallelujah, I worked that one out and I did it this, and this way, and now this is what you have to do forever if you want victory. And that's how a lot of denominations are formed. Because somebody, God helped them out and they took personal credit for it and made a doctrine on it, and now everybody's is trapped in that spot because of that one person's perspective on what happened. We won't go any further with that. Amen. So there's benefits with Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 103, 2-3, bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases. See, once again, the benefits package is the blood forgives all your sins, and then the body heals all your diseases. And disease is a broad term there. It means sicknesses or diseases of any kind. It's not just specific diseases. And so there's a benefits package, Christians. And that's what we're talking about today, a benefits package. know, church, His body forgave you at the cross. His blood forgave you at the cross. And His blood still forgives us. His body was broken so that we could have life and have it to the full. So now we're gonna serve communion now. And as they're serving communion, just remember, as you're having communion in your own time, like I have communion most every day at home myself. That's just something I do. I felt like the Lord laid that on my heart. It's just a special time that I have with Him most days during the week. But as you're having communion, just remember to bring some separation and thank Him for the health. Thank Him for the strength that the body provides. Thank Him for meeting your needs physically and emotionally through His broken body. And then if you got something stirring in your life and you need victory, Lord, thank You for the blood. Thank You for the blood. The blood will set you free. The blood will set you free. Amen. Even as the bread represents His body that was broken for our healing, I put a few verses up here for us. In Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that heals you. Psalm 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 40:29, He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. Isaiah 41:10, I am your God, I will strengthen you. Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health to you and I will heal your wounds. And then Jesus, our amazing role model, in Matthew 8:16-17, says Jesus healed all who were sick. He Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. All that is referring to the provision of the body. So as soon as everyone served, today if you've got something going on in your body, you've got a physical need, or you've got something going on, an emotional need, you need physical or emotional healing today, if that's you and you know it, just as we think about Jesus, remember how He was beaten, how He was abused. Remember the stripes. Remember how He was broken beyond, it says the Bible says you couldn't even recognize Him. Remember that. And also think about the fact that His broken body, which this bread symbolizes, as you partake of this, you receive all the healing, health, and strength you need today by faith. You literally believe and receive. And that's it. So as we partake today, so if you hold up your bread with me, if you're taking today with me, together, let's say, I believe. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I believe. Now, say, I receive. I receive.
I receive.
Let's take together. Thank You, Lord, for healing. Thank You for strength, God. Thank You for, Lord, life in our bodies, life in our minds and our emotions where we need it, God. Thank You for the provision of Your body. We love You, Lord, and we thank You in Jesus' name. The juice or the wine, whichever one you chose, represents the precious blood of Jesus. Precious blood. And in my own communion, I started calling this the cup of freedom. It sounds kind of funny, but every time I'm like, Lord, thank You for this cup of freedom. Because it's His blood. His blood, if you summed it up, is pure freedom in it. Freedom. Let's just take this second before we share it together. If you've got a sin in your life, I'm not asking, this is not a public thing, okay? If you've got a sin in your life or you're struggling with something and you want the Lord, His blood to cover you in that place, and you want His blood to empower you and set you free, quietly to yourself, we're just going to take a few seconds, just quietly confess whatever you need to and ask Him to forgive you. And according to the Word of God and according to our wonderful Lord, you will be forgiven. And then we're going to partake together. So let's take just a few seconds and examine yourself. Lord, we thank You for the cup of freedom, that Your blood sets us free and brings us into a new place with God. Your blood also sets us free each day, Lord, as we struggle. And Lord, as we have other needs, God, other spiritual needs, God, Your blood is the door. It was the door then when we trusted Christ. It's the door today. Thank You for Your blood. So church, let's thank Him for His blood. Just a few, whoever would like to, thank You for Your blood. Thank You for Your blood, Jesus. Thank You for Your blood. We're so grateful, Lord. So let's receive that freedom together. That forgiveness where we need it and that freedom. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.